All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for today, drawing out the longing we have for you. Truly, you are amazing, God, and you love us, and you are at work in our lives, God, to help us. So thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. So, we are continuing our series on discipleship. So I think we had talked, I think this entire series with first, I think, just a declaration, I think, of the good news that God is calling us, the gospel. God is calling us to come in, inviting us into the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. And that's truly the good news. According to Jesus, right, the gospel is that the kingdom of God is near and that he is inviting us to come into that kingdom and to be disciples in that kingdom. Now, that's very different, I think, you know, for many of us who have, this is difficult to hear. So just want to, it's difficult because being a disciple is very defined very clearly in Scripture. And if you read the Gospels, Jesus gathers a crowd and then he provides some natural benefits like feeding them and healing them. And then he says things that are very difficult to hear. And people have to make choices to become his followers. And to follow, he said, you have to, you know, hate your mother and your father. He says very difficult things. You have to take up your cross. You have to deny yourself. And many people walk away from that. And they say, well, I mean, I don't want to do that. If that's what it means to, I mean, if I can just follow and not change anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I don't have to really change much and follow you, then I'm good to go. And, you know, and it's like, well, I don't want to make tough decisions and follow Jesus. I mean, I want Jesus in my life. I mean, that's what we pray, don't we? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we get saved, Jesus, I'm hurting. I want you in my life. And that's a great start. That's a great start. And that gets us to a place where now we have to make some decisions about whether we're going to follow and make some tough calls, you know, about what it is to be a disciple, right? And so we want to just continue to dive because, and here's the thing. Jesus says, you know, last week we saw that there are emotions that come from believing in Jesus, and there are emotions to help us to realize maybe we don't believe so much. Maybe we don't really have faith, or maybe we don't really trust. And we talked about how fear is the emotion of unbelief and how courage is the emotion of faith or believing. So if you believe God, you will have courage. And if you, you know, and we kind of went through Scripture last week to kind of, you know, dissect out, oh, you of little faith, right? Talking about those who are anxious about this life. And how we're so scared all the time about what people think, what our neighbors think, what our parents think, what our friends think. We're scared people. We want to be approved. We want to make this world count. And we're scared that we might not matter, right? But God says, well, if you believe in him, right? Courage, you know, and I'll give you, because courage is really, the ambition of courage we talked about was love. And here's the thing. And I remember when my wife, who was, when I got married, and I think she will even tell you, like, she was a timid person. She was a, not an abnormal Korean lady who was humble but timid. She was, you know, in some ways, you know, I mean, she wasn't 내 그릇이요, which means, you know, she wasn't that, you know, like a submissive type. But she was, you know, but when she had like our first child, when she had babies, right? She became like this fearless, You know, like, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, like, you messing with my kids? You know, kind of, you know, like that kind of thing. And there's, you know, like something happens when you love people, you become courageous. You do. It's like magic. I'm sure you have those stories, like your parents, right? I remember, like, I saw this lady, like, really talking, like, in Korea. I was, like, stationed there, and she was talking to this policeman, and she was using all her fingers and, you know, and doing a lot of this, you know? And you just kind of knew that's probably a mom, right? Like, in the back of my mind, that's probably a mom. Something happens, right? Something happens when you begin to not be about you. And you just become really courageous. Like, you'll just do all kinds of hard jobs, right? And we love that about our parents, right? We love that about God, because God, who is our Father, right? Like, he'll just do anything that is the most difficult because he loves you. When you love somebody, there is no question. Love requires courage, and you must overcome fear. Nothing new. Talked about that last week. So we're going to expound on that. Because discipleship, right? When you talk about discipleship, okay, here's kind of the title, and we're going to expound on this. It's not about me, but it's about others. And the title is really the surrender of self and loving others. But it's about the team, right? And truly, when you become a disciple, it's really learning how to not be about you. I remember, like, I was at a Christian concert a couple weeks ago. And I've had, like, you know how it is. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like everybody's rushing to the front. There wasn't assigned seatings. Like, you had to pay to have these fancy assigned seatings. But I just remember, like, people, like everybody's gathered and situated. And you had these people, like, that would squeeze in, that came in late, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, they would squeeze in and cut in front of you. And I was, like, really struggling, you know. I was like, wow, like, life is about you, isn't it? You know, like, I need to, and, but I was struggling with that. Anyways, I don't even know why I mentioned that. I think I need to forgive people here, okay? All right. Let's read Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So, we individuals grow up, right? Here's the thing. So, when you become a Christian, right? Now it's like you are now learning to what it's like. I used to play individual sports. Okay? When you are a great individual athlete, when you become a Christian, you're no longer an individual athlete. That's very difficult for particularly Asians to wrap their hands around this. Like, it's only now team sports. That's, like, really tough. When you were a non-Christian, it was about you. It was like me, like, I want to be important. I want to be significant. I want my life to matter, right? I want to grow up and mature. I want to love God. I want to serve God. Like, it was just about me. I want to do great things for God. And then when you become a Christian, it's like, well, you can be a great, you know, member of a great team. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's no longer now, you can't stand alone. And if you try, you will fall down. And that's what Ephesians is saying. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And then it says, and it wraps it up saying, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's about the body. It's about the team. So that means, like in baseball, because it's a team sport, okay, you might have to do a sacrifice You might have to like bunt and get yourself out so that the runners will run base, right, and score for your team. And that's called a sacrifice. And that's what team sports do. In football, you have these tackles. They block, sacrificing themselves so that the guy who's got the ball, right, is going to run into the end zone. There is nobody that Tom Brady loves more than his tackles, right, than his linesmen. Why? Because they protect him to enable him to do what he needs to do. Because it's a team sport, right? There's always, in a team sport, there's always sacrifice, right? There's always sacrifice in team sports. Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws and the prophets. Basically, like the Bible could be summarized, what God wants from you. Now, this is key and critical. And we're going to continue to harp on this because Scripture harps on this. Like, I want you to understand, when we went through 1 Corinthians and we talked about love, love is patient, love is kind, right? Love is a summarizing word that gets at everything that Scripture is getting at, period. If you say, and we're going to talk about it, like, oh, the Bible is so confusing. I just, you know, like, all these very, like, hey, if you get that it's, but what is it really saying? Well, it's about loving. Well, you're getting like the bulk of it. I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. You know, it's not like Henry, like, where are you getting that? I'm getting that from Jesus. I'm also getting that from Paul. Paul says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you remember in the Old Testament, the Jews, right? They like, God is freeing them. We love that story, right? We love the movie Ten Commandments. You know, God frees the slaves. And they're like crossing the Red River. We see the Egyptians like closing the waves, closing on them. And they're like free. And then they're like wandering around in the desert. What are we talking about? Like, well, that verse alludes to Jesus saying, like, Jesus says, I come. Why did Jesus come? To set us free. Jesus came to set us free, just like God sent Moses to set his people free. Right? Moses was like a Christ figure in that sense, a prototype. But Paul is saying, well, let me just kind of share with you. It wasn't about so that you could do whatever you want, because that's kind of what we think about freedom. Well, you're free. Whoa. I can do whatever I want now. No, you can do what God wants now. Which is very different, isn't it? Like, freedom is the ability to do what God wants. Because here's the thing. If you're in Christ, what God wants is everything that God that you want and nothing less and nothing more. See, like, there is no such a thing as me and what I want. And if we have a suspicion that maybe God doesn't want that for us, or if we're not able to go and say, God, I just want what you want. Like, what is it that you want? And that's what I want. Because, like, people are saying to you, hey, how about this? And, well, no, that's not what I want. I want this. God would call that arrogance. Like, I want to live, you know, I want to go to such and such a city. This is James 4, right? And do such and such a thing. It's like, well, then you're arrogant. Like, humble yourself. Right? Because freedom, what does it say? It's an opportunity, like, to love and serve one another. And so the whole law, everything that the Bible is talking about, it can be fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how about God? Well, Jesus kind of said, right? if you love me, you'll love the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, right? I mean, like, pay it forward. That's what God is saying. And here's the thing about love, because it's a commandment, okay? Because it's a commandment, right? It's not like we think that loving, because being a loving Christian, we think it's kind of like an option. Like, we go to church, like, it's an option. Like, I'm a Christian, and it's optional if I really want to, like, sacrifice myself for other people. Well, that's not what Paul would say. He says, owe no one anything, what? Except to love each other. For the one who loves another, that's not in the scripture. I say courageously, vulnerably, humbly, and sacrificing one's time, money, and energy. I think there's, you know, great biblical warrant to say that, and we went over that, has what? Fulfilled the law. That means if you don't love, you owe apologies. Do you know what I'm saying? That means if you're an unloving person, if you're not orienting to yourself to the love of others, you come before God and you say, God, forgive me. Because I know I owe them. Like, I owe you to love you. I owe my children to love them. And if I don't love them, I'm like, I need their forgiveness. Not that they deserve it. That's very different now. From like, if my wife doesn't get, like, love me, right? Doesn't mean I deserve her love. Now, you got to get that straight. Okay, we're not entitled to love. But the fact that God commands her to love me, okay, that is between her and God. That's his command. But just because she owes me love does not mean that I deserve her love. So that can't be demanding of it. Very different. So when we go to pray to God, and you've been an unloving person, but you can't experience his intimacy, this is probably at the top of the list. I would consider maybe I'm an unloving person. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I don't know, prayer's really hard. Like, this is, like, I just want to encounter God more intimately. Well, let's talk about what he's like at the heart of God. Like, if this is like fulfilling all of the law and working towards it is everything to God, this is probably should be at the top of the list. Here is this, okay? And I'm just going to walk it down because I want to see the logic here. I want you to see the logic. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. The logic then would be, you are my friends if you will love one another. Is God your friend? You're his friend if you obey his commands. And if all of his commands can be summarized as being love one another, then you're his friend if you love one another. Like, do you intend, do you schedule, do you budget, do you cut out parts of your time? Like, you're probably not very close to God if you don't think that way, because all of Jesus' disciples think like that or is moving towards thinking like that. Because you know why? Everything that God will do in your life is moving you to think like that. Like, if you want to be a friend of God, right? Because I tell you, every mom that I know, and even dads, if you're good to their children, you're my buddy. Not lying to you. You want to get close to somebody? Treat their kids really nicely. God's not that different. God loves his children. And if you're good to those, especially the ones that nobody's loving, like the ones, you know what I mean? Like, for those students out there, like those, you know, like not the popular ones, you know, those kids that, you know, like, and if you go out and you're like reaching out to them, do you want to, like, God's like, man, I'm so happy. I'm so proud of you. You know, that's like a loner and you're loving them. And they're not even popular, you know what I mean? Like, that's God's heart, right? That would be every parent's heart. But that's just why. I mean, God cares about this stuff. If you want to be a friend of God, then you have to be a lover of people. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, again, I'm substituting commandments because God says that we could summarize that to love one another, right? So if you continue to love, right, one another, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's nothing more intense for Christ, right, than to abide in his love, because the Father is about love. Why? Because God is love. Like, if God is any, God's very nature is love. And so that's why Jesus prays. He's like, Father, like, can you take this cup from me? Because I know what it's like to be cut off from you and to receive all the wrath for all the peoples that you're bringing to yourself. Like, if this is not the only way, just can you please take this cup from me? But what does Jesus say? Not as I will, but thy will be done. Which means, God, if you really want this, there's nothing more than I want than to want this. These things I have spoken to you. Why? God doesn't want you to have a miserable life. Here's the thing, folks. The only joyous Christian life that God wants to show you is when you become and commit to a loving life. The fullness of joy in this life, it's when it's not about you and when it's about others. Like, if you think that, oh, but like, I want to be secure, I want to be rich, I want to get the right house, I want this, and I just, now, then the Bible wouldn't be true. Because why? Because Jesus, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what? Full. Right? Like, there is no other kind of life. So see, if you keep my commandments, that means if you keep the most important, let me summarize my commandments. Love one another. Okay, so if you love one another, then your joy may be full. Let me just summarize it like that. Even now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, right? And all the disciples that will come after them, because he says he will be with us to the end of the age, which means it only not applies to just them, but to all of us, those who would be his disciples. But he says this, right? So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it says what? Teaching them to what? Observe all that I have commanded you. Let's just replace that, because we've already seen, right, that can be replaced, because not because I'm replacing it, because Jesus replaces it and summarizes it. And he says it this way. So, to teaching them to love courageously and sacrificially. That's the Great Commission. Now, how do you teach somebody to love courageously and sacrificially? By showing them. By showing them. Even as I say this to you, God help me, this is hard. Like, it's hard, folks. Like, if you're thinking that doing this is an individual sport, this is the reason why it's a team sport. This is a reason why you want to go to a church where they're urging one another. That's what the Bible says. Urge one another towards what? Love and good deeds. Oh, hey, Henry over there, man, he's like really not living a loving life. Well, let's go over there and urge him. You know? Like, hey, Henry, like, you're just, I'm going to urge you right now, right? Because you're not very loving. You're not very forgiving. You're not very serving. You know, you're just like kind of like, it's just about you right now. Like, how many people want to go to church like that? No, you want to go to church where people kind of leave you alone a little bit, let you do your thing, at your pace, you know, like, and then you're like 10 years down the road. And here's the thing, folks. Let me ask you, the test of only test of discipleship, because if it's the greatest commandment, you know that God is probably moving to help you fulfill the greatest commandment. And here's a question of whether you are truly going to go to heaven or not. Are you growing in love? Because that's the test of discipleship. Are you more loving right now? Are you like better at forgiving? Are you more generous? Are you more sacrificial? Right? Are you able to do that? That's the question. Is God helping you with that? And are you at a place where your people are helping you with that? Because that's where you want to be. But you know what? People don't want to be in those kinds of places. Because people want to leave those places. Because I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't want to hear that. But here's the thing. Well, that's what God wants from us. Like, that's why we're here. That's why we're here on planet Earth. All right. So, I don't want you to hear condemnation. You're like, well, what do I do? Well, here's the thing. When life is going to be about others, here's the thing, folks. Then it's got to be about surrendering self. When you're going to be about others, you got to be about not you. And every day from the moment you wake up, our prayer is, God, help me not to be about me today. Help me be about you and others. That's the life of surrender. That's why the Lord's Prayer is like, God, like, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, which is the gospel, right? And thy will be done. Thy will be done is the prayer that Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross. Not as I will, but thy will be done. People, you don't just pray thy will be done. You pray thy will be done, okay, when you have offered your life up, okay, as a living sacrifice. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Here's the thing, folks. So, like, the greatest love, the only kind of love that's great, and God is all about the great commandment, is it requires you to lay down your life. There is no version of love, well, how about if I just love and I'm not willing to lay down my life? Then that would not be the kind of love that God wants you to have. Now, John 14, so understanding that, I want to read John 14, keeping that in mind, 15, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'm summarizing the commandments to love one another. It says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and what? And manifest myself to him. Are you struggling? I mean, here's the thing. Are we struggling? This is the tough part. Are we struggling with intimacy with God? I mean, like, are we struggling to, like, connect with him in meaningful ways? What Jesus is saying is, like, you're just being disobedient. Like, to not step back and say, God, what is it that you really want out of my life? Because Jesus promises what? For those who are doing this, he will manifest himself to them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And his words, again, are summarized as loving one another. And so, bringing it home. Paul says, Romans 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Okay, so now, the kind of worship that God desires from us every time we get up in the morning, every time we walk through the day, and at closing, okay, on Sundays, is coming here and saying, God, I surrender my life to you. Now, what does that look like to you? Does it mean I surrender my internet at night? Does it mean I surrender, you know, my phone? Does it mean I surrender some of my me time? What does it mean to surrender? Because a life that is not surrendered, okay? Sometimes we think, and then it's not just surrendering to not to do things, but it's an unwillingness to do things like loving one another. So every time, you know, I come before God, like, that's my worship. Right? It's like, God, there is a block here. And here's what's more beautiful. It says, which is your spiritual worship? It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, that word perfect, right, is not the way we use it in English. It doesn't mean flawless. It means complete, fulfilled, or matured. So when we don't conform, okay? So here's what we mean by that. That means when we have a fight, we all are in that moment, okay? In that moment, and you have to recognize when you're in those moments, when you prove, okay? When you prove, okay, that this stuff is real. Whenever you are, when circumstances come your way and bring lots of burdens and stress, lots of pain and turmoil, when those situations arise, you're in the God moment. You're in the God moment. This is time to prove, okay? This is when you say, God, don't assume that it's not about you for you right now. God wants you, okay, to prove him. Prove what? That thy will be done, proving the will of God, is absolutely for real. You know what I love? I love coming here, right, on Sunday mornings. I love getting up because I know when I get up, and when I pray, you know, kneeling beside my bed or walking to my den or when I'm, because I know one thing. When I surrender, right? And here's the thing. And I want you to really understand this. Do you remember the verse in John 6 that I was talking about? It says, I am the bread of life. Those who, right, come to me shall never hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. So believing in God is a coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus is about thirsting and hungry. You know what I love about that? I love when I come and I say, God, like, what is it that I can surrender to you today? God, what is it that I'm holding back? What is it that would please you that I do? God, what is it? Because God, thy will be done. And you know what? And in that moment, right? I'm not saying it's all the moment. God is faithful this way. Then a longing rises out of my heart. A longing, a thirst, and a hunger, right? I can feel it. Like, I'm in touch with that hunger and thirst. Like, oh, this is what believing in God looks like. This is what it feels like to come after Jesus. Because coming after Jesus is a longing and a thirsting for Jesus. But it means a life of surrender, right? So there is not a prayer that I ever have that does not involve surrendering my life to God. Every day, special days like Sundays, at retreats, right? Because things take on. Things about this life take on kind of an importance, and we just don't want to give it up. Worldly dreams, like somehow, let me just get this out of the way. Whatever it is, a bitterness, maybe an envy, You know, whatever it might be, an unforgiving heart. Like, you know, thing about it is this is not hard. All we need to say is, God, I just, thy will be done. Like, I just want what you want, God. What is it? You want me to go and lick somebody's shoes? I'll go and lick somebody's shoes. Like, is it something beyond your dignity that you will not do? Are you so proud that you will not say, thy will be done? Look, the Son of God, the King of the universe, Lord himself, Lord than anything, okay, in mankind. He was beaten and bruised, spat upon, a crown of thorns on his head. And it said, and then the wrath of his Father for sins of the world. And he said, God, man, I want what you want. Like, thy will be done. That's what this is, right? Because when you do that, you feel the emotion of believing. There's just this longing, this thirst that you just come to, you recognize it. Man, this is for you, God. Man, I love you. I long for you. I thirst for you. I hunger for you. And God's like, God is not stingy. And then he satisfies you. Because why? Jesus says he's the bread of life. He's the living water. And then you know what else arises out of that? Courage. Courage to go and lick somebody's shoes. Right, if that's what it means. Courage to humble yourself. Courage to go through whatever life difficulties is coming at your way. And you don't have to try to run away from it. You can meet it dead on with love and courage. That's what it is. Right? And you're like, I can do it. Like, I'm not afraid. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is what? Perfected in us. It means it completes us. If we love one another, then something is being completed in us. That feeling that you have of being incomplete, kind of fragmented, is because you're feeling incomplete, imperfect, unfulfilled. I can say it just 1,000 ways, but that unfulfilled feeling is your inability to love. To surrender your life to say, God, I only want to be about that. I want to be about that because you're about that. And if you're about that, then thy will be done. To come full circle, okay, we talked about how believing, right, is the emotion of courage, right? And unbelief is the emotion of fear. Remember, 1 John also says that perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love is this. Perfect love, right, because it's the same chapter, right? If you are scared and you're anxious, It's not natural to think, man, I better get busy loving one another. It's not about receiving more perfect love from God. It's about fulfilling perfect love, being complete in perfect love by loving one another, by being about others. First Corinthians 13. All right. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. I just want you to kind of soak it in. Because all of Scripture is getting at this point. This is a holy moment, folks. Like, sometimes we just pass this by. You know what? We should not, okay? Now, this is not everything about love. But I tell you what, folks, when this becomes mundane and trite and something that I can skim and read, this is something that we can just soak in. It says, love is patient. Think about God's call for you, the moments that patience is being called upon. Man, that's that moment. That's that moment that Romans 12 is talking about, right? In that moment where you're proving God that when you engage in this, you're being transformed. You're different. You're being fulfilled, completed, matured, and kind. It's easy to be kind when people deserve it, right? And you have all these, like, you know, like Andrew was talking about, like these undeserving people in your life. And when you do good to them, that's what kindness is. Love does not envy or boast. Why? Because you're already rich and you didn't earn it. Because you have God. I mean, what else makes you rich, right? You don't need to envy anybody, you know? Like even at the fishing trip yesterday, like people were catching like the big fish. I forgot who caught the big one. I think like Andrew and and Luke. And I was like, man, I was like so happy for them. You know what I mean? And it was a little embarrassing when I went, you know, when I was reeling mine in. Actually, this is a little off to the side, but I have to share it. Like I was really, we went fishing, as the men went fishing, and I was like, and I don't know, I just kind of started getting like all these, you know, a lot of guys around, and you feel like, oh, I got to be manly. So I started reeling in really fast, right? And I was like, man, this is so manly, right? And I was like, man, this is like, oh, I can do it. And then like I was getting tired, and like then I was like, okay, this is like time to like shift gears. Then I like put the elbow up, and then I like doing this, right? And then I was like finding ways to prop up my, you know. And what was funny, it's like I was doing that for a very long time, and I think the helper noticed that I was doing this, and he comes over, he looks at the reel, and he makes a switch. Like I was only moving the reel, I wasn't really pulling in the line. And then he makes a, throws the switch, and then all of a sudden, it went, that's when, I think Andrew came and he started helping me out and actually took over the whole entire endeavor. But and then we finally reeled in the fish. It was like this little thing. And then Andrew goes, yeah, no, I think Henry, you know, I think there was like two fish on that line. yeah, exactly. Exactly, dude. Two fish on that line. That's what I'm pretty sure it was. But I felt rich, right? Rich in getting small fish, right? That others may have the bigger fish. You know, that's, yeah. The joy that comes from just being happy for people, you know? And I tell you, that's a real privilege. Okay. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. And it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And man, you know, when people wrong me, and I know a lot of times, I've been around the block now. When people wrong me, I know deep in my heart that not good things will come of them. It has been my experience, right? And there were times when I then get the news, right, that bad things have befallen them. And in that moment, there's such a temptation to want to gloat, right? For them hurting me. You know, and it's like, God, can you help with that? Can you help me to be loving, you know? To go out of my way to comfort them, right? In their consequence. And God gives you that kind of freedom? Who does that? Do you know what I'm saying? Well, you do. That's you. In Christ, that's you. And here's the things, right? But love requires things, right? And this is exactly what it's getting at. Love is those things, because love bears what? complete surrender. It says love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Now, believes all things isn't believing in lies, but believing in difficult truth. Believing in difficult truth that God may orchestrate moments in your life so that you can get it. Because it's about being loving. And you hope all things. That means you will resist discouragement. That's why we need one another. And then what? Endures all things. And so that in those moments when you're having to endure, and we've all been there, right? It's recognizing that in that moment when you're being hurt or you're being tired or you're suffering or you're in that moment, kids are screaming or, you know, like, and you're doing something, and like when you're in that moment and you're not getting your way, and God's like saying, love. Do something. Okay? Notice that you're in that moment. And even if you fail, don't pretend like you were right. You're not right just because somebody else is wrong. Do you understand that difference? You are not right just because somebody else is wrong. That is not the way of God. You could be just as wrong when somebody else is wrong. Because there's a greater calling, and the greatest calling is for you to love. And if there's an apology, right, that you need to make, above all apologies, when you have been unkind, when you have been impatient. Why? Because we have received the greatest love, and a lot of people who haven't, they don't know that. They don't know what it means. But you do. And if you make excuses for yourself why you don't have to be loving and you live like that, it's like, man, you might not even be a disciple. John 21. Jesus, right, after the resurrection, goes to Peter, right, after the betrayal, right, you know, of Peter for Jesus, he said to him the third time, he's asking him the same question, do you love me? Well, then feed my sheep. So he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, like, Peter loves Jesus. I don't think that's really in question. But I don't think what Peter gets is how Jesus wants to be loved. There's no way that any of my girls could love me if they don't love each other. That's impossible. Like, if you're going to love your dad, you're going to love each other. Because I love, you know, because we're all one. Well, I'm just going to love you, Dad, and I could care less for my siblings. Like that. We're a family. That never works out, folks. Right? And so, but Peter hasn't been matured yet. He is not perfect. He is not complete in that idea. So he says, Peter's grieved. He's hurting because Jesus actually shifts the word, the love, the third time he says, do you even like me? Right? The word is phileo. He was using the word agape the first two times. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. You know what that means? Jesus is going to lead Peter to what? To love others. That's what it means, right? That's what this means. Like, whatever Peter's agenda was, whatever he thinks about what it means to love God, Because we all think, right? Like, if I asked you, like, what do you think is a wonderful Christian? Like, I was actually talking to a friend of mine, Sharon Cha, and we were just talking because we were talking about, you know, like reaching out to, you know, youth groups in this area. And we were just talking, and I was talking about, you know, like, you know, maybe this could be a hebyokido, like, you know, we're looking at, you know, getting a church facility, like a place where we could like pray and things like that. And she was like, you know, it's like she's just returning from Korea, like all these people going to like these early morning prayers. And their lives are, like, they're so disciplined and going, but yet their lives are completely in shambles. Like, they don't really love people. I was like, wow. I was like, can you really be spiritually disciplined and not love people? But here's the folks. Yes. Like, whatever you think is the ultimate Christian, don't be fooled. The ultimate goal of God, whatever it is that we're doing, here's the thing. If you are a very loving person out there courageously, just being sold out for God, living a loving life, I promise you, you're going to need to pray. You will need His word. You will need to fast. You will need those spiritual disciplines. Okay? But them in of themselves, okay, is not the goal of God. Galatians 2:20. Now, this is, right, why it makes sense. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that means Henry no longer exists. Okay? Henry is now part of a team. Right? Henry is part of Christ and his team. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, like, to be a loving person requires you to what? Be a dying person. I don't know if that's natural. Like, I don't know if we, like, intuitively think that. And we can't think that the Christian life is somehow about other things. Everything in Scripture is leading us to this one idea. God wants you to be about others. But in order to be about others, you have to be not about you. That means you have to die. You have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross. Because why? Because it truly, at the heart of it all, you are not your own anymore. Your identity is not your own. You're now part of the body. That is your new identity. You're in Christ. I no longer live. That's why, right? To be in love, for God to be love. When it says God is love, that means he's part of a community. That means he is one in Trinity. That's his identity. There's no three gods, just one. And it's all about one another. And God wants us to get that. Right? So you don't, here's the thing. Take a deep breath and go, oh, I don't have to be great anymore. I don't have to be wonderful. People are not going to, like, approve of me because I'm glorious in my own way. The best thing about me is that I'm loved by God. And there's nothing I can do in this life to improve that. And thank God and praise him, right? That means I can live a life truly, right, of love. So let me just kind of summarize, I think, you know, what God is saying in his word. Surrendering self and making our lives about the body of Christ is the goal of discipleship and the purpose of life. Let me say that again. Surrendering self and making our lives about the body of Christ is the goal of discipleship and the purpose of life. To follow Christ is to first follow him into death, then into the freedom of an other-centered resurrection life. I believe that's what Scripture is saying to us. And the beautiful thing is I love, you know, it's like, God's mercies are new. Because you know why? Every day, you know, I do my best. right? Not to be about me, but every day I stumble and fall. And the next day, you know, like, God, I shouldn't be able to come to you and have your mercy be so new every morning. And it'd be like, God, man, my life is yours. Yet once again, help me to be about you. And then in that moment of surrender, right? Just allow, just come to grips. When you surrender your life to God, feel the longing, the thirst, the hunger to rise from your soul. Because that's when you truly know you're a disciple. Why? All believers, folks, all believers hunger and thirst after God. When you sing about heaven, when you sing about going home, I can't not get emotional. I long to be with him. And to long to be with him is not to allow anything to come between me and him. Do you understand? That means it's just, it's a life of surrender every day. Every day. And he's so merciful, right? And we get to prove him day again and a day after. Just like it's like, and you grow. And you just don't, you're like, I don't know, I think I'm changing, you know? And people, folks, we change, you know? Thank goodness. So let's pray. And I just, and it's, let's just quickly close. And then just as we come back, like the praise team comes, I just want to just ask you, just surrender your life. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, whatever you're holding on to, whether it's just like forgiving, whatever you're holding on to, whether it's bitterness or just lack of trust or just whatever it is, if it's the internet or like, I want you to understand, I want you to discover your God-given birthright to long and thirst after him. And just, I want you to just allow that to rise out of you. To just know that God wants to just be your bread and your water. I just want you to just walk away just with confidence. Like, I just can do anything for him. Heavenly Father, just come. Help us to surrender. Help us to humble ourselves. And just to just let ourselves go. To love you, God, as you deserve. God, as we worship in Jesus' name.